Welcome to this message on South Haven's podcast from South Haven Church with the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm inviting you to check us out at southhavenchurch.org. This message and other messages can be found on our website or on our South Haven Church app for iOS and Android. And now for a message of hope.
On some of the products that we buy. Have y'all seen some warning labels that has some really stupid stuff on them? This is like, really? You really need to communicate to me? It's as if, you know, there's this great fear of being a lawsuit or something. So we're going to cover all our bases and just make sure you don't do these types of things so that in case you do, you can't come back and sue us. And I think it's just a reflection of manufacturers thinking we're just kind of dumb as consumers. So I think that's what it is. But here it is. Here's one of them. Here, this was on an electric razor for men. So guys, if you got this particular razor, I'm not sure, you look at the warning label on there, maybe for Father's Day or something like that. It just simply says on the label, never use while sleeping. You know, that's been a great temptation of mine is to shave while I'm asleep, but don't do that, especially with this razor. It's really going to be harmful to you. Here's a warning label. Here's one on a baby stroller. All right, this is a baby stroller. From parents, remember this. Remove child before folding. Don't put that kid in there like that. It's good. That's bad. Here, I like this one. This is on a children's little motorized little scooter. Okay, on a scooter. Here it is. This product moves when used. Wow. So here, I want the one that doesn't move when used. That's right. I want the one with the square wheels or something, I guess. I don't know. Here, like this one. Have you ever used one of those Duraflame logs, you know, in your fireplaces, you know, in Cameron Hill? This is on a Duraflame fireplace log. Caution, risk of fire. Yeah. And here, this is probably the most legitimate one of the ones I'm going to list you. And this is on a Batman costume. All right. Warning, cape does not enable user to fly. Don't try that. Don't go on the roof. You just don't do that. And then here's my favorite one. I love this one. On a bottle of hair coloring, do not use as an ice cream topping. I know. I'm disappointing some of you. You had your all in mind. You're set on that. You got the ice cream top. You got the hair coloring and the ice cream ready to go. It does seem like they're insulting our intelligence sometimes. And as I read these are like, just like, really? You had to say this. This is dumb. You know, why would you have to tell me this? But at the same time, I come to the point in life to understanding too is that there's just some things I don't know. And there's just some things I need more of. You know what? I need a little bit more brain power. I need a little bit more wisdom. I need a little bit more discernment. Actually, I pray for it all the time. I pray, God, give me this wise and discerning spirit. Here's a prayer I pray. I said, God, give me wisdom beyond my years. You ever prayed that? And just knowing that wisdom comes with age. And God, help me to be wiser than my current age. Often pray that. Wisdom and praying for wisdom becomes one of those without a doubt prayers. God says yes to. Without a doubt, God's going to say yes to. And actually, we discover this in the scriptures. James, the brother of Jesus, reveals this to us as he talks about how we pray for wisdom. Here, James chapter 1, verse 5 listen, this is where we're going to begin this morning. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Listen to how God gives. He gives to all generously without criticizing. And it's given to him. It comes. Wisdom. Pray. It comes. And not only just comes, it comes with generosity. It comes freely. You know, there's a differentiation we need to make here real quick, that wisdom is a little different than knowledge. Actually, you can have knowledge. You can be really, really knock it out of the park intellectually. You can be very unwise. I've known people like that. They're very smart. I've known people that had a huge amount of biblical knowledge but were unwise. You know, it's kind of like all up here, never transferred to the heart and the application of life. So they just kind of, they could spit out scripture they haven't memorized. They could tell you all about the historical aspects of different books and stuff, but they aren't living it out. Wisdom is a little bit different than knowledge. For knowledge is more about intellect. Here, I'll give you this. Wisdom is more about perspective. And what kind of perspective? Wisdom is the ability to view life. From God's perspective, a godly perspective. I like how one man put it. this way. He said it this way. He said, wisdom is getting tuned into God's frequency. Getting tuned into God's frequency for life and then living in that frequency. It's kind of like getting in the ways of God and just staying there and living there. Wisdom. We need that. As people of God, we need godly and divine wisdom. You know why we need it? Because the world has its own definition of wisdom. And we're bombarded with the world's type of wisdom. It contradicts what God's desiring to do in our life. Yet when we don't see life through God's perspective or in His frequency, wisdom of the world tends to be the more the ruling part of our lives. We see that over and over again. And when I forsake the wisdom of God, I'm going to have wisdom somewhere. I'm going to let someone speak their version of truth into my life. And when they do, normally we can find ourselves in a situation contradicting what God desires for us. So what does this mean for us today? What does this look like as we talk about give me wisdom, God. Help me in everything. And we're going to talk about some things very specific here in just a moment. But I want to go back to the very nature of where we began this morning and the whole crux of our series. And it's this, is that wisdom comes. God gives wisdom when you pray for wisdom. And so that's first off, is that we're promised this. Listen, let's revisit James 1:5 again. It said, and if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. Ask of God. And he gives generously. Without criticizing, it'll be given to him. It comes. Now, why don't we ask for more wisdom? And what we see here is God is saying, I'm not a tight-fisted type of giver. You don't have to pry open my fingers. You don't have to pull it out of my hands. He said, basically, when you ask for it, it's a very generous. It comes freely. It comes selflessly. It's as if God is saying, I have what you're looking for right here, and I'm ready to dispense it to you. Do you want the wisdom of God in your heart and life? He says, absolutely, ask, and it comes to you. You know, here's a weird thing. When I saw this aspect of God generously giving wisdom, I promise you the first thing that popped into my head, and I just had to share it with you and just give you this picture, was Lambert's. I like Lambert's, okay? You know what I like at Lambert's? Pass-arounds. So you've been at Lambert's, and you walk in and you sit down, and pass-arounds come, all right? Would you like some fried okra? Yes. Would you like some fried potatoes? Absolutely. How about some black-eyed peas? Okay. Would you like some bread? Just holler for it. Here, bread over here, and you got to catch it. All right? So all this stuff's going on. And you what? I want more fried okra. Okay. Come over. I want more black-eyed peas. I want more potatoes. All this kind of stuff. And the pass-arounds, they just come. And it comes very generously, so much so that you can get full on all the pass-arounds. And when your entree comes, your main meal that you're actually paying for comes, then you're not hungry anymore. And what do? You box it up and take it home, and you got 2 days of meals and next, you know, whatever coming up. But yeah, just think about this generosity of God. It just comes. This is the wisdom of God. It's not stingy, wonderfully generous. It's not restricted. He said, I'm not even going to restrict it to just a few of the privileged Christians. He says, I desire for everyone to have it and enjoy and experience by all of his children. He said, it's available to you. Ask. I want God's wisdom. It just comes. Here's something very interesting. When we ask for wisdom, there's a lot of areas, and we're going to cover a few in a moment, but I want to talk for just a moment about specifically what James is referring to here, and I want us to look at this request, this prayer, this verse 5, in the context in which James wrote it, because I think it's going to be a powerful tool and a help for all of us today. I think you'll find this interesting, and I think you'll find it helpful going forward or even today, depending on your situation. And here's the situation. Here's the context in which James writes this verse in this letter. So the book of James is written to Jewish Christians. Now, these Jewish Christians have been scattered throughout. It's called a kind of a dispersion. They've been scattered out through all the Mediterranean area. So these Jewish Christians are not at home. They don't have any safety or any security or any comforts of home. They're in this place and these locations where that's not their home. And they're experiencing some difficulties, some struggles, actually some persecutions. You can imagine Jewish Christians. So who are they experiencing persecution from? Well, first, the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. I don't like them. They're persecuting them. The Jewish people who have not embraced Christianity are now persecuting them. So they're getting it from both sides. And now they're struggling. Actually, this whole book of James is about how to live the Christian life in the midst of these difficulties and just actually helping them through troubles. So you might remember a few years ago, I preached through the book of James called A Blueprint for Christian Living. It's about how to live in these times. But we're reminded, even James addresses the difficulty that they're going through when he says this in verse 2 of James, consider it a great joy, my brothers, when you experience various trials. So James understands the difficulty. James, this is the brother of Jesus writing this, and he understands what they're going through. So what does all this mean for us? So when James comes right after that, understanding who his audience is, and James says you should ask God for wisdom, he's actually telling his readers and he's telling you and me, we need to ask for wisdom when life is tough. Isn't that interesting? We got to ask for wisdom when there are trials and difficulties in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but that I don't know if that makes the top 5 or 6 things I pray for going through tough times. I'm looking back. I might have at one point, it might have been like number 7 or 8. I'm not sure. But wisdom doesn't breach that sometimes. You know what it does? Here, probably wisdom, I'm probably praying more and maybe like you for strength and maybe for grace. I'm even praying for deliverance. Get me out of here. I'm praying for God to shore me up, strengthen me. But I'm not really praying for wisdom. Do we pray for wisdom? Maybe you do that. I hope you do. I'm encouraging you to do that. Contextually, James is encouraging that. Why would he say that? Well, see, James, he didn't say anything else. He said he didn't say anything about strength or grace or deliverance. I think the first thing, reason James is telling us to pray for wisdom in the midst of difficulties is because we need wisdom to navigate through difficult times. I need wisdom to know how to, God, I'm in the midst of this storm. How do I keep my head above water? How do I stay sane? How do I stay focused? How can I do this? I need wisdom to do that. But I find there's another aspect of wisdom that he says here that we need to consider is that we pray for wisdom so we don't waste the opportunity that God has given us in the midst of the trial, the opportunity to mature and grow us in faith. Have you discovered that trials of life are a maturation process that God uses for each of us? Don't you hate that sometimes? That it's the trials of life that God grows us and grows us in faith and strengthens us? It's the trials of life in which God teaches us more about ourselves where we learn to trust Him. So all of a sudden, when we're praying for wisdom in the midst of difficulties, we're saying, God, give me wisdom so I don't waste the opportunity in which I'm going through. Where I'm not just seeing this as something I just need to get out of, but I see this as something, God, that I want to bring you glory and I want you to develop the goodness in my life with. So it reminds me of this man by the name of, he was a pastor, he's a Bible commentator, his name is Warren Wiersbe. And Warren Wiersbe actually just passed away not too long ago, just wonderful. I've got a lot of his books and just very helpful. He was talking about a time when he was in the pastorate. He said he had a woman in his church who had gone through a stroke and her husband was blind and was in the hospital and he was near death. And so as he approaches this woman, knowing all the difficulties that she's going through, he just wants to encourage her and he says, oh, don't you know I've been praying for you? And she says, well, thank you very much. How have you been praying for me? I don't know if you've ever received that one back, but he kind of took him aback and he says, well, I've been praying for you to have strength and been praying for God's help in your life during this difficult time. She was very thankful for the prayers, and she says, but I want you to know I need you to pray for me in one other way. He says, well, what else do you want me to say? He says, I'm asking that you pray that I'll not waste the opportunity in which God has given me. She said, I'm praying, pray for me that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all this. Isn't that incredible that I'll have the wisdom not to waste the trial in which I am in right now? Have you ever considered that? God, help me with that. God, give me wisdom through this. Not just to navigate the difficult situation, but not to waste this. Here's one thing. You know what? When you pray that, you know what you're saying? Here's one thing. It's really significant. God, give me the wisdom to understand how you can use my difficulty to help somebody else. Do you realize that that's what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians? Do you realize that he says that we suffer in order that we may comfort others with the comfort of Christ? Oh, wow, that's wisdom to understand that we suffer in order to help others who suffer. Have you ever thought about those others that you may be helping who suffer, may not know Jesus, and all of a sudden you get to walk along beside them as an encouragement and guide them to the Savior? Have you ever thought about your comfort to somebody else might lead them to a salvation in Christ? See how big that can be? Do you see that? As we think, God, give me wisdom through this thing, it's like, help me, God, to have your perspective. You ever thought about, God, I want a godly perspective through this? You know, I have a perspective. A lot of times my perspective is clouded by my own pain, my own suffering, and my own view of things. God, give me a godly perspective. See, I want to see it through your eyes. What are you doing? And I don't want to miss what you're taking care of here, God. God, grow my faith. God, grow my character. God, make me a better person, a better man, a better woman as I experience these things. Isn't that an amazing thing as we think about now wisdom becomes a preeminent priority that we pray in the midst of the difficult times. What a beautiful thing for us to remember. But understand, this is the context in which James is writing. But it doesn't mean that this is a prayer we can't pray for the things of life where we need wisdom. Lord, help me in the decisions that are before me. Help me to make wise and discerning decisions. God, help me in my job. Do you have a job that's challenging, where you have challenging coworkers, to where you walk in and you just don't know what you're going to be met with, and you don't know about maybe some hostility or just difficult personalities? Do you ever pray, God, give me wisdom and understanding how to love somebody, talk to somebody, encourage somebody, be a man or woman of God in the midst of this environment? I need wisdom, God. I'm not doing what I need to be doing, or I'm not getting it right. Help me. What a wonderful, powerful thing to pray for the workplace. Give me wisdom, God, to work through this. Have you thought about praying for wisdom in the midst of your relationships? Are you in a dating relationship? Are you praying for wisdom in the midst of that? God, give me godly wisdom. I'm going to tell you, the world has its own wisdom about dating relationships and about relationships. All right? Whose wisdom do you want? You want godly wisdom in the midst of dating relationships and those types of things. You want to understand. God has a perspective. Am I doing it like God wants me to do? You got difficult conversations? Do you pray for wisdom with difficult conversations? God, give me words. Give me a discerning spirit. God, give me understanding. You see how it works? James is wonderfully in guiding us and helping us understand this. And God says, I'm going to give you that wisdom that you pray for. You know, the prayer for wisdom, as we talk about in James, is the first aspect of this. And it's not to diminish anything that James is saying and from this text, but the Bible is so overwhelmingly gives words regarding wisdom in other areas and about gaining wisdom that it's worth saying here this morning. So I want you to know that we're talking about God gives wisdom when you pray for wisdom, but also God gives wisdom when you pursue wisdom, when you just go for it. You pursue wisdom. I want to be wise. You know, listen, praying for wisdom is the part of the pursuit, but there's other pursuits that the scripture mentions that I just didn't want to send you home without this morning. And actually, now we jump from the New Testament to the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs chapter 2, which is written by the wisest man named Solomon. Proverbs chapter 2, listen how this, as we pray for wisdom, the Bible also reveals to us that it's to be pursued. Listen, listening closely to wisdom. If you seek it like silver, you search for it like hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. It's to be searched for. It's to be pursued. It's like hidden treasure. You ever pursued or searched for something that was like it was of great value? He said, search for this, pursue this. You know what that tells us? It takes time. It takes perseverance. It's going to take patience to get there. It's not going to come immediately. It's an ongoing process. Proverbs 16:16 says, get wisdom. Get wisdom, and it's more valuable and it's better than gold. What a beautiful word for us here. So if we're going to look at wisdom, it's like wisdom is like a treasure map. You're discovering wisdom, and X marks the spot. What are some steps to get there? What are some pursuing things along with our praying that gets us there? Well, first thing is that God's word brings wisdom. I'm convinced that I don't think you can experience godly wisdom apart from knowing God's word, apart from reading, experiencing, meditating, studying God's word. It goes hand in hand. Listen, Proverbs 4. Listen, my son, accept my words. You'll live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom, and I'm guiding you on straight paths. It's just revealing that God's word, the Bible, is a kind of a guidebook for wisdom. Without a sound understanding of the word, we can easily allow other influences of people that are totally ignorant of the Lord guide our ways. Those who neglect Scripture actually will never experience the wisdom that God desires for them to have. So this is part of that pursuit. I'm going to ask him as a follower of Christ, and I'm going to pursue that through the word of God. Here's the second thing. Not only through God's word, but God's works in the world bring wisdom. This is interesting. You know, littlest things right here. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you slacker, and observe its ways and become wise. The smallest of creatures, the smallest of God's creation, he's saying, if you observe it, there's something of wisdom in that ant. You ever thought about that? Now, I look at ants. That's quite annoying. Ants are annoying. I don't want ants in my house. I don't want ants around my house. I don't want an ant at my picnic. You know what I mean? You don't want ants. You know, you got an ant farm, and good for you. I'm always thinking about ant farms, that they're going to get out somehow, you know? That's my fear, walking there, and the ants are all gone. I mean, where'd they go? I don't want ants. But he's saying, observe the ant. Look at the ant, and look what it does. You know, when that ant finds a crumb, how does the ant communicate to its all ant friends and ant buddies that there's a crumb here and that we need to attack this and get it back to the net or back to the ant, whatever? Ant hill, that's it. I almost said ant nest. I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. Might be. I'm just saying, you understand these ants. He said, you can observe this, their perseverance, their diligence, their intelligence. There's something going on there that's amazing. He said, can you observe those things? Can we not observe things in this world and say, wow, God, there, give me, you know, observe these things and be wise concerning these things and the way God has created these things. Then he says, lastly, here, we are pursuing wisdom by God's word, by just making some observations in creation. But then lastly, the scriptures tell us godly counsel brings wisdom. A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. Godly counsel. Today, I can have in my mind and desire to do some of the most ungodly things. And I promise you that I can go find individuals who will agree with me, and they will endorse my decision. It's okay. They'll just say, yep, that's okay. You go do that. You know why? They might even say like this, just want you to be happy. If that makes you happy, go do that. They won't have any concern for my holiness or my walk with Christ. But godly counsel doesn't do that. Godly counsel gives wisdom. None of us have all the answers, and sometimes there's just people that can be in your life or you can seek out that will give you a godly perspective. You always need a godly perspective. You always need a perspective from God. And that's what he's saying, wisdom. This is the pursuit of wisdom. Listen, we do a lot of pursuing these days. We pursue careers. We pursue wealth. We pursue relationships. Do you know, unfortunately, actually people pursue sin. They pursue a sin. They pursue that. They want that. They desire that. The fleeting pleasures of sin. They pursue those things. Yet there's this vast treasure that God says, I pour out to you and give generously to you if you ask. He said, I want to give you wisdom. I want to give you the mind of Christ. Isn't that a great pursuit for us? That's a great thing to pursue. I pursue it every day because I'm so inadequate. My mind is so feeble, and I can't do everything God wants me to do. I need the wisdom of God. So here's a hypothetical for you. If you get asked God to do one thing, say, God, I want this one thing, and you were guaranteed the answer was yes, what would you ask? Immediate response, the answer is yes. Better health, more money, bigger house, better job. Maybe it's something as simple as maybe God undo some of the regretful things that I in my past. Can we just reverse some time? Maybe you just want some contentment and some peace. This is quite hypothetical. And it's at risk of, I'm just saying, I'm not endorsing treating God like a magic genie or Santa Claus. But it's not without biblical precedent. But it goes this way. One evening there was a young man. His name is Solomon. Son of King David, the current king of Israel. He was visited by the Lord. And on that night, God appeared to him and God said this to him. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, I want you to think about this. What a question. What an opportunity. Ask and I'll give you whatever you want. You could ask for anything. Wealth, power, the defeat of his enemies, long life. You understand how old Solomon is. Solomon is quite wise. He's in his 20s. He's a young guy. And you know what he is. You know what the story is. Solomon says, now grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead these people. Grant me wisdom and knowledge. You may never be given an opportunity like Solomon, but you are guaranteed wisdom if you ask. You know, Solomon's life started out really well, very wise. People from all over the world come and visiting him. There's kind of a point, you can even kind of pinpoint him, when the downward spiral of his life began. You know, there was a point to where he went from the wisest to the one of the most unwise. You realize he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he ended in such a cynical way of life. His perspective on life had totally changed. Everything was kind of desolate and wasteful. What caused that? Here's what the Lord said of him. He said this. They, meaning his wives, his concubines, have turned his heart away from God. God had told him not to intermarry with these other religions and these other individuals, and all of a sudden that's what happened. God is saying, this doesn't have to be, but this is what has happened in your life. You know, I got to thinking about Solomon. I said, why would that happen to him? Why did this happen? How did it get to the point to where he had this, the wisest man in the world that we hold up of all of his wisdom, but how is it that he ended so poorly? You know, along the way, he made these unwise decisions. How does one that's so wise do that? You know, I can't help but say that anything else is that maybe Solomon was just kind of holding on to that one moment in time when God said, I'll give you anything you want, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. But Solomon rested on that one moment and never pursued it again. It just reminds me that I think it's a continual thing that we need to be reminded of. God, I appreciate the wisdom you've given me for this day, for this moment, for this situation, for these decisions. God, here I am again. That's the reason I think it has to be a daily prayer. I think that's a continual thing. You know what that means? It is the continual pursuit of wisdom because we never arrive, and Satan is always looking for the opportunity to come in and intersect in the midst of our lives and make us and help us and guide us to make very unwise choices. You could be the wisest individual and making the wisest of choices up until today. And it just takes a moment. And you're saying, I think I've got it and I've arrived. And all of a sudden, unwise choices begin to happen. It can happen just like that. Continually pursuing and continually praying, God, help me to be a wise person.
Thanks for listening to our message from South Haven Church. If something from this message stuck out to you, you have a question or need prayer, please email our South Haven pastoral leaders at hope@southhavenchurch.org. South Haven Church exists for the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at southhavenchurch.org or join us in person at our main campus located at 16,800 Bellray Boulevard in Belton, Missouri. Till next time.